Thank you for joining us again this evening. We're delighted that you have chosen to be with us. We do have an option where we can look at our website and see that there are people that are watching. We don't know who you are, but we know that it spikes on the days that we have the recordings and that you are watching. So we're thankful for that. We appreciate it more than you realize. It kind of makes what we're doing, the effort we're putting into it, it kind of makes it worthwhile to know that you are listening. But I do want to offer that if you have any questions about what we preach here, please feel free to contact us, contact me or one of the elders, and we'll be glad to discuss with you what's being taught here. Speaking of being taught, I want to talk to you tonight about things concerning Christ. If you will, open your Bibles, if you're following along, to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to notice verses 23 through 27. Beginning in verse 23, now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" What we see here is that they understood a need for authority. They understood that you have to have permission, so to speak, to do the things that you're doing. And our permission for preaching the gospel, preaching the truth, is the Word of God. We pick up in verse 24, "But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We don't know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." What we need to learn from this is to preach Christ is to preach the gospel. We see in Acts chapter 8, and verse 4 and 5, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them." We see here that Philip and those others that were scattered leaving Jerusalem in Acts chapter 8 went everywhere preaching Christ. They preached the gospel as well. We see that the apostles preached Christ to perfect souls. Colossians 1 and verse 28 says, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Now in Rome, Paul was preaching the kingdom and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 31, that he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. We must give earnest heed. We must pay attention to what we have heard about Christ. The Hebrew writer says we need to do that lest we drift away, Hebrews 2 and verse 1. So in this lesson, talking about things concerning Christ, the first thing we want to notice is that the authority of Christ demands our attention and undivided allegiance. What I mean by that is Jesus tells us in Matthew 28 and verse 18, in Matthew's account of the Great Commission, that all authority has been given to him in both heaven and on earth, meaning he has the right to tell us what to do, the right to expect us to obey his commands. So all authority has been given to him. So we must give our undivided attention to his demands, his authority. Romans chapter 5 and verse chapter 9 and verse 5 tells us that he is over all as eternally blessed God. Christ is above all. He's over all. And we see this, and because of this and who he is and the authority that God gave him, we must adhere to what he teaches. We see that his authority or his power that he has is to save and to judge. John chapter 5, verses 26 and 27. And we read also that he is far above all rulers, all authority, power, government, and every name being called upon. He is head over the body, head over the church. We see that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we see here that Christ is above everything. He has authority over everything. Paul would write in Colossians 1 and verse 18 that he has preeminence in all things. So what I learn here from this is because he has authority, this authority has been given to him by God. He has authority over everyone to save and to judge. His authority is above all others. And he is to be placed in our mind and in our lives in a preeminent position. So the authority of Christ demands our attention and undivided attention, undivided allegiance. The idea of a supreme authority, though, is rejected by most modern mindsets. They believe in no absolutes. They believe in no God a lot of times, and therefore salvation is at best a questionable thing. So we see here that if we believe in the authority of Christ, if we believe in Christ himself, we have to give him our undivided attention and our undivided allegiance. Because all authority has been given to him, as he said in Matthew 28 and verse 18. But the majority rejects this supreme authority. But there are benefits of Christ's authority that are available to every person. In Matthew 28, we notice in verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." As I stated earlier, this is Matthew's account of the Great Commission. In verses 19 and 20, after saying that he had all authority, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded." All things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So notice in verse 18, Jesus says, "I have all authority. It's been given to me by the God of heaven, and I have authority in both heaven and on earth. Now you, this is what I'm demanding of you." Remember, he has authority, and we should obey his authority. Give our undivided attention and undivided allegiance to his authority. He says, "I have all authority. Now you go and you make more disciples and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you." So we see here from this that in these benefits that God speaks to us through Jesus. The Hebrew writer points this out in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He talks, and we'll notice this verse a little bit later, that in various times God spoke to his people through prophets and other people. But now he speaks to us directly through his Son, and we have his Son's word in the Bible. So God speaks to us through Jesus, and that's what the Hebrew writer tells us. But also we are spoken to through his teaching. And it's through his teachings that we hear him, according to Matthew 17 and verse 5. Now, when we talk about the authority of Christ, remember, the authority of Christ demands our attention and undivided allegiance. But also, the authority of Christ is expressed in his word. So if you want to know what Jesus says, the most simple thing to do is pick up your Bible and read it. In it, you find that he has all authority, and he delegated that authority to his apostles to write letters to the churches. They are inspired letters. As I said a moment ago, Hebrews chapter 1 points out to us that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, had us in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Christ's authority is expressed, it's given to us in the written word. Now the Lord, as he says here, began to speak salvation. That's what the Hebrew writer tells us. You can go on into chapter 2. And no, excuse me, notice verses 3 and 4. But the word of Jesus has power to save. Paul talks about this in the power of the gospel in verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1. He says here that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. As we noticed this morning, that's to everybody outside of the Jewish nationality. But it's interesting, in this passage here, verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Paul points out here that the word of Christ is spoken to us. Our salvation that we have comes from the word of God, and it is a powerful tool. The word of God is powerful. When you think about this word power here, in Romans 1 and verse 16, it's where you get the Greek beginning for the word TNT or dynamite. So Paul uses a word that has an explosive power, if you will, when he talks about the power of the words of Jesus. The word of Jesus has the power to save. It's an explosive power. It has a power that has the ability to move people, to break the hardened hearts, to cause that heart to ask questions, what must I do to be saved? Paul says that's the power of the word of Jesus. But you see that Jesus gave God's word to the apostles. He had authority to do that. He delegated his work to the apostles. We see that in John chapter 17, verses 8 and verse 14. Now, keeping the apostles' word is equal to keeping the words of Christ. Christ teaches us, and then he delegated his authority to the apostles to continue his work. We see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 this very principle, that they continued daily from house to house with the apostles' teaching. The church continues to practice the apostles' teaching today. Again, we go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Again, we cite Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So what we see here is that the church must teach the truth, the absolute truth, because we don't have authority to change and preach something that might make us feel better. We have authority to preach God's word and God's word alone. We have authority from Jesus. Remember, he has authority in heaven and on earth, all authority. He delegated that authority to the apostles, and Paul clearly says here, that if you don't heed what is taught by the apostles, if something else is being taught, then it's wrong. So if you're believing that some other doctrine, some other denominational teaching is okay, clearly understand that what Paul says here in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, it is wrong to follow those teachings. And as Paul points out to young preacher Timothy, as we noticed this morning, that we are equipped to serve God by the inspired Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. God breathed into man what he wanted them to write. And it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You don't need anything else but the Word of God. You don't need anything else. And all you simply must do is simply follow the Word of God, because he has all authority. Now, we need to understand also that we're going to be judged by those very words of Christ. He has all authority. He demands our attention and undivided allegiance. And his authority is expressed in his Word. In John chapter 12, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. That's this book right here. Friends, that's this book. That is the word of God that will judge us in the last day. So if you want to be judged correctly, then you need to live your life according to what this book says. We will be judged by that very book. We notice John chapter 5 and verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So when Jesus does return, He will judge us by what we, how we have lived our lives according to that book. Now, let's point out a couple of things here. We are not judged by feelings. It doesn't matter what emoji you like to use on Facebook, smiley face, happy face, laughing face, sad face, whatever. Emotions cannot dictate how you serve God. It doesn't matter about opinions. You don't follow some man, and what some man tells you, well, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that. You do expressly what God's Word says. For the denominational people out there, you don't follow the pastor. And for those of my faith, you don't follow what the preacher says. You take the Word of God out and you search the Scriptures and see that what's being said is the truth. You don't follow some teacher. Maybe it's a Bible class teacher or college professor. You don't follow them. You don't follow a particular church, if you will. You don't follow synods or councils, assemblies, associations, creeds, and the list goes on and on and on and on. You don't follow your parents. You don't follow your family. You don't follow your friends. You will have to answer for you, for your obedience to the authority that Christ has given us. I would like to think that I could live my life faithfully and my children be okay. But I will have to answer for myself. My children will have to answer for themselves now that they're grown and out of the house. Their salvation depends upon them. But another thing, when we talk about the authority of Christ, Christ uses His authority. We see this taught throughout the pages of God's Word. The psalmist would talk about this, but He is used as God's prophet. We see this in Hebrews chapter 1, again in verse 2, that God at various times spoke to His children in the past, spoke to the fathers in the past through the prophets. Christ is a prophet. He spoke to us about things that were to come. But also, we see that He speaks to us, and God uses His authority through Christ to be our high priest. The book of Hebrews talks about how much better Christ is than the priest of the old, the angels of old. He talks about how much better everything is through Christ than what we had or what God's children had in the past. So as our high priest, He makes an offering. He makes an offering to God on our behalf for our sins. We see this in Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 8, chapter 9, and again in chapter 10. That He is that perfect sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sins. There's not another perfect sacrifice to be offered. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 7 and verse 25 that as our high priest, He intercedes on our behalf. He goes before God when we offer our prayers and petitions unto Him. But also, He uses His authority as our king. We see this taught in passages like Acts chapter 2, verses 23 through 36 there, as Peter preached about the Jews of the day crucifying the Son of God, that now He's sitting on the throne at the right hand of the throne of God. The psalmist would speak of this in Psalm 110 in verse 1. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Daniel makes mention of this. But as our king, He possesses and rules all nations. Daniel would speak of this in Daniel chapter 1. But the psalmist would speak of this. The Revelation letter would speak of this, that He possesses and rules all nations. He is in control, ultimately, because of His authority. Remember, we mentioned at the beginning of the lesson that He is to have preeminence. He is the ruler of all nations. And I'm not going to be political here, but it doesn't matter who is in the White House, who is in the monarchy or the dictatorship. God allows those to stay where they're at, to be in those positions. But Christ is ultimately the king. He possesses and rules the nations. He also is king over his kingdom, which is the church. We answer to him. What we do in our worship of God, we will have to give an answer to Christ. Because this is his kingdom, the church is, and therefore we must do what he has commanded. As Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, having all authority, we as his followers, as his subjects in this kingdom, must submit to his authority. Again, as I stated a moment ago, it's not your feelings, it's not someone's opinion, it's not some book that some preacher has written, some philosophical preacher or whatever, writer. It's not those things that you need to base your spirituality upon. You must submit to the authority of Christ. Remember verse 18 of Matthew 28. Jesus says, I have all authority in both heaven and on earth. He's going to be our judge, and therefore, because of that, we must submit to his authority. And also, he exercises his authority to give life and to execute judgment, as we noticed a moment ago. Now, as we close out this lesson, we need to understand that a response to Christ's authority ought to begin with just utter humility. We read in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Paul writing there, therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, the gospel invitation is to humble yourself to Christ's authority. He has a power. He has the power to save you and to guide you to be his disciple. So when your faith obeys Jesus, what that's doing is showing your willingness to, first of all, respect his authority, secondly, to submit to his authority as the Son of God. So the question falls on your shoulders then. What will you do? What will you do with the authority of Christ? Will you rebel against it? Will you deny it? I'm going to do what I want to do regardless of what Jesus says. Jesus says he has all authority. If you're willing to do what Christ says, then you will submit. You will respect his authority and simply obey. If there's anything we can do for you in helping you to become a child of God, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you for being with us again tonight.